Where are we? Which chapter? Okay. Yesterday, last night, we mentioned 11 from verse 1 to verse 9. Since the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, and it's almost impossible to cover the whole book in detail in 15 hours. So we would rather look into the big picture. Some of the guiding principle of God revealed in the book of Isaiah. By doing so, we will not get lost. So some of the minor detail, yes, maybe you still have question, but we will not talk in during the class. If you have any some minor issue cannot be resolved, you may ask a counselor or the instructor. And it's very important. Bible study is just like eating the fish. Well, you know, some of the fish have a lot of bone, right? But some are very good in eating the fish. They can eat all the meat, right? Fish, and left the bone there. But some, after they eat a little bit, they were choked by the fish bone. The same thing, when we study the words of God, some of the verses we cannot understand. Just leave it there. One day, if our spirituality grows to a certain level, we will understand it. We try to understand whatever we can understand, whatever God revealed to us. By doing so, every Bible study will be very beneficial to us. Otherwise, sometimes the more we study the Bible, the more doubt you are going to have. Because a lot of things we don't understand. So we try to understand whatever we can understand. Chapter 11, last night we talked about the Messianic King, verse 1 to verse 9. When the king reigned, all different kind of animal will live harmonious together because he is the Prince of Peace. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, according to verse 2. So he was able to reign over everything. He was able to transform everything in the world, including you and me, because we are under his reign. And chapter 11, verse 10 to 16, it's talk about Messianic age. And this is also one of the prophecy. The prophecy of the return of the Israelite. Okay, verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The root of the Jesse actually is referring to Jesus Christ. Will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Actually, this talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. All the nation is going to rally to him. So all over the world, people believe in Jesus and follow Jesus and rally behind his glorious name. And verse 12. And he will raise a banner, a banner for the nations and gather the exiled of Israel. And he will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. So also this has a double meaning. One is to talk about in the timing of Isaiah, especially in the king of Cyrus, God moved the king a portion and allowed them to come back and take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. And also this is the prefiguration that in the last days, God is going to gather all his people around the world, regardless of your race, regardless of your status, regardless of gender. God is going to gather everybody together to belong to him. So we are part of the remnant being rescued by God. According to the book of Romans, I think chapter 8 or chapter 9, if it is not because of the mercy of God, we would be like the city of Sodom and Gomorrah for a long time. We would have been destroyed by God for a long time because the world has sinned against God too deep and too much. And but God still reserved a group of people belong to him, not because we deserve it, but because of mercy of God. And we are the remnant. God wants us to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. So the true church, the glorious kingdom of God, can be prosperous again. And verse 15 and 16. And the Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with a scorching wind. He will swept his hand over the Euphrates River. And he will break up into seven streams so that the man can cross over the sandal. Verse 16. And there will be highway for the remnant of his people. And this is left from Assyria. And as there is for Israel when they came up from Egypt. And also verse 15 and 16 is a prefiguration. All the difficulties, just like a Red Sea or the Jordan River or the Euphrates River, they will become a barrier for the people to reach the other side. But since God wants to bring the exile come back to the Israelite, God is going to use miraculous way to remove all the obstacles so they can come back smoothly. Now, so if we read the book of Chronicles and Kings, and you can see that when the king of Syria was moved by God, he even sent a group of soldiers to escort the Israel to come back. He even promised to provide all the different material for the Israelites to build the temple of God. So God moved him to remove all the obstacles, and the Israel was able to come back to the homeland after 70 years of captivity and rebuild the temple. And this is also prefigured in the last days. 16, there will be a highway. You know, highway is different from freeway, different from the local, the local road. A lot of traffic light, a lot of disturbance. But if you are in highway or freeway, very smooth all the way. You can drive very fast. So in the last days, God's going to create a highway, remove all the hindrance, remove all the obstacles, so his people will be able to come to him and to worship the Heavenly Father and to join his glorious kingdom. So this is the branch and his kingdom mentioned in chapter 11. And chapter 12 is talked about the hymn of the praise. Praise the majestic God and praise the almighty God. And chapter 12 verse 1 to verse 3 talk about the song of deliverance. And 4 to 6 the song of thanksgiving. We heard yesterday afternoon before the prayer section, right? The message, hallelujah, is very important, very powerful. If you don't know what to pray, everything is going smoothly. You have nothing to ask for. And the best way is continue to praise God with hallelujah. By praising God, you are going to see God will be so close to you because he led us to praise him. He deserves our praise. He deserves our thanksgiving. So when we praise him, we are offering the spiritual sacrifice. to him, and he will be very much pleased because of our thanksgiving and praise. So chapter 12 talk about the song of deliverance, verse 1 to 3. Chapter 12, verse 1. In the day I will say, I will praise the Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Verse 3. With joy he will draw water and from the well for salvation. So this is a very beautiful song. Talk about even though God punished the Israelites out of his divine nature of justice, but his anger is only for a very short moment. Because God is a God of merciful Father. So he removed his anger and he turned his comfort to his Israelite. And he is going to be trusted again. And so the Lord we worship is this kind of Lord. Sometimes we receive some kind of punishment from him, but most of times we receive the grace from him. So this is a deliverance. So the punishment of God is different from the punishment of human being to other people. We punish, right? We impose some kind of difficulty to others. A lot of times it's because of what? Retribution. Right? You do evil, somebody return with you with evil. But when God tries to do something for his people, the main purpose is not for retribution. The main purpose is to serve as a warning or to make the people to return in the time of suffering. Once a person returns, then God will regain once again to show the mercy to them, to bless them. So verse 4 to 6, the song of thanksgiving. Let's see, chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. In the days I will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Verse 5, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all world. Verse 6, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. So the second part is a song of thanksgiving and praise. And when the more you repeatedly read this part, your heart will be deep up and your heart will be very joyful, filled with hope. This is chapter 12. And chapter 13 to chapter 14, verse 27. 13 to 14, 27 is the prediction of the fall of Babylon. So start from chapter 13 to chapter 23 is the judgment against the foreign and domestic enemies. Out of the divine character of his justice. So if we look into chapter 13 to chapter 23, then we know everything has its own consequences. We are going to reap whatever we sow. We have to remember this very important point. A lot of people try to do something in one of the thinking in their mind, there is going to have no sequence, consequence. So a lot of people, they've done a lot of things. They thought there will be no consequence. But if we understand what kind of God we are worshiping, you know everything has its own consequence because God is a God of justice and God is a God of merciful. If we are faithful to follow his teaching, God is going to show mercy to us. If we are faithless to his teaching, then we are going to face the justice of God. So every behavior, every conduct is going to face a consequence. From verse chapter 13 to verse 23. And chapter 13, verse 1 to 22, is a proclamation against Babylon. And verse 1 to verse 5 talk about God raised an army. And this army is going to surround it, and eventually is going to defeat Babylon. Now, this is chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 5. And verse 6 to verse 16 is a phenomenon of destruction. And this is a prophecy about, will be fulfilled about 100 years later, the destruction of the Babylon. The phenomenon. If you read the start from verse 6 onwards, verse 6, chapter 13, verse 6, listen, the noise on the mountain like that of great multitude. Listen, the uproars among the kingdom, like the nation massing together. The Almighty is mastering an army for war. And they come from far away then, from the end of the heaven, the Lord and the weapon of his wrath to destroy the whole country. So this is the prophecy against Babylon. So later on, Babylon was destroyed by whom? Persian, right? Especially verse 17. Verse 17, this is a prophecy. Medes, Medes, Ma Dai, Chinese say Ma Dai, Ma Dai and Persians. They come and attack Babylon, and eventually they defeated Babylon. So verse 17. See, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight in gold. Which means, even you send the silver and gold to bribe them, and they are not going to accept it. When they are determined, they are going to come and to destroy the kingdom of Babylon. And verse 19 is a destruction. Talk about the destruction of Babylon. Verse 19, chapter 13. And their bows will strike down the young men, and they will have no mercy on the infant, and nor will they look with compassion for children. And verse 19, Babylon, the jewels of kingdom, so-called the jewels of kingdom means the strongest kingdom in that time, the leader of all kingdoms. The glory of the Babylon pride will be overthrown by God, like the Sodom and Gomorrah. And Babylon will be in desolation forever. So verse 20. So will never be inhabited or live in through all generations, nor Arab will pitch their tent there, nor shepherd will rest his flock there. Verse 21. But desert creature will lie there. Jackals will fill her house. So this is a prediction that after the desolation of Babylon, only the animal will be there. Nobody is going to reestablish a kingdom there anymore. So this prophecy later on been fulfilled. And chapter 14, verse 1 to 27, also the foretelling destruction of Babylon. But But in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, a message has been inserted in the prophecy of destruction of Babylon. Verse 1 and verse 2 is a prophecy of the return of the exile. And then from verse 3 onwards, to 23, let's talk about the mighty kingdom fallen. Verse 23. Now let's see verse 22 and 23. Chapter 14, 22 and 23. I will raise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will cut off from Babylon her name and the survivors, her offspring and descendant, declares the Lord. 23. I will turn her into a place of wolves and into a swamp land. I will sweep her with the brooms of the destruction, declares the Lord. And if we are familiar with the book of Revelation, we know Babylon actually is the prefiguration of the world in the last days. Because at that time, Babylon was the strongest country. Even in the Nebuchadnezzar, look at the beauty of the kingdom of the city has been built. He was so satisfied with his own achievement. Just like today, people use all different kind of the resources trying to build the world like a Babylon, especially in the United States. But in the last days, according to the book of Revelation, when God's second coming, everything you treasure nowadays, the silver and gold and dollars or anything, will scattering around all over the land. Nobody treasure that anymore because the destruction has come. And that kind of things can never save anybody. So the destruction of Babylon has the meaning in Isaiah's time and also had the meaning of prefiguration in the last days. So always the book of Isaiah is talking some kind of double meaning. And in Isaiah time, it has its own contemporary meaning, and in the prophecy has some spiritual meaning. And especially, I would like to mention chapter 14, verse 12 to verse 14. This paragraph has two meanings. The one way of the meaning is a prediction of the fall of Babylon. But something more important is these few verses is an indirect evidence the downfall of the angel. So where comes the Satan? You can never find any verse in the Bible say where comes the Satan. So whoever claim the origin of Satan, if it is without the biblical support, we should not take it as the orthodox doctrine in our church. Anyone who proclaims the origin of Satan without biblical support is only personal opinion. It's not our traditional belief. According to our understanding, the origin of Satan has indirect evidence. And one of the evidence is from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. How you have fallen from heaven, right? O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down on earth, and you have once laid low the nations. Verse 13. And you say in your heart, I will ascend it to heaven, and I will raise my throne above the star of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost height of the scaled mountain. Verse 14. I will ascend it above the top of the cloud, and I will make myself like the Most High. Now, verse 15, but you are brought down to the graves and to the depth of his pit. According to the book of Jude, angel did not keep his own position and was striken down. What does that mean, angel did not keep his own position? Angel is created by God to serve God. Right? Even angel was very beautiful, very powerful. But angel is different from God. God is God, angel is angel. God is the creator, and angel is God's creation. So when a person tries to elevate himself to the position of God, and he already crossed the boundary set by God, and it is sin. So according to this passage, the angel tried to be like God. So God struck him down. So this is indirect evidence where the Satan come from. Let me repeat again. Any claim of the origin of Satan without any evidence from the Bible is personal opinion. Should not proclaim in the church. So we have to keep our church in a very biblical way. So this is chapter 14. Then now we look into chapter 14, verse 24 to 32. And 24 to 32 is a prophecy that God is going to destroy Assyria. In previous chapters talk about God is going to destroy Babylon. Right now, God is going to destroy Assyria. I believe you are all familiar with the Bible, right? Later on, who attacked the Assyrian? Who destroyed Assyrian? Who destroyed Assyrian? Brother. Who destroyed Assyrian? You don't know. We mentioned yesterday already. Who destroyed Assyrian? Babylon, right? We shown you a chart, right? The approximate historical timing. Now, Babylon attacked Assyria and become a very, very strong country, right? And then who attacked Babylon? Who attacked Babylon? We just mentioned who attacked Babylon, right? Portion, attack Babylon. So this is the prophecy. We are going to go very fast. Verse chapter 15 to 16 against Moab. Can you remember anything regarding to Moab? Yeah, a few things, right? One of the is recorded when the Israelites travel, almost enter into Canaan, a lot of men committed sexual immorality with the woman in Moab. In the book of Ruth, right, Naomi and her husband moved the whole family to Moab, and that was not really what God wanted them to do. Their life was not blessed when they moved to Moab. So eventually, in the whole family, three men died, and there were three women, three widows. So Moab is something typified the land of immorality. And eventually, God is going to judge them and against them and eventually punish them. So that's chapter 15 and 16. Now we go into chapter 17. So from whatever we have read till now, we understand who is in control of history. It is God himself. Who is in control of human destination? It is God. So God is the law of everything in the world. He is in control of everything in the world. Okay. In chapter 17, again, the Syria and Ephraim alliance. Now, it's mentioned in chapter 17. The Syria and the northern kingdom form an alliance, try to attack the southern kingdom, try to defeat them. But God was against this kind of alliance. Let's see chapter 17, verse 3. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and the royal power from Damascus, and the remnant of Aaron will be like the glory of Israelite, declare the Almighty. So the joint force eventually will be punished by God. And let's see another one, verse 7. In that day, men will look to their master and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. Verse 8. And they will not look to the altar and work for their hand, and they will have no regard for the Asherah poles and the increased altar their finger have made. So when God distract them and a lot of people faith is going to come back to God, come back to the Lord. Now we verse 10 and 11. You have forgotten God, your Savior, and you have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plant and the plant imported vine, verse 11, though on the day that you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud. Yet the harvest will be as nothing, and in the days of disease and incurable pain. So this is a prefiguration that God is not going to bless them, and the difficult time or God's retribution is going to come to them. The joint force of Assyria and Israel. And then we move to chapter 17 onwards, start from verse 12 onwards. It also mentioned about all the enemy will be defeated by God. And chapter 18 to chapter 20, chapter 18 to 20 is a prophecy concerning the Egypt. The prophecy concerning Egypt. In chapter 18, woe to the land of warring winds along the river of Cush. This is also the prefiguration of Egypt. Chapter 18, verse 1 to 7 is talking about God will against the Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is part of the Egypt. We read the book of Acts, we know the eunuch of Ethiopia. In the northern part of the Egypt. God will against them. So you can read them in detail. But if we look into the big picture, it's talking about God's condemnation about them. From chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 7. And if we read the verse 2 in the gracious class, there somebody asked, we send the envoy by sea in the Paras boat over the water, go sweet messenger to the people tall and smooth skinned, to the people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of the strange speech, whose land is divided by river. It's talk about Egypt. At that time, Egypt people is tall and smooth skinned. If you look into the mummy in the museum, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, the people looks like in that way. Okay, and chapter 18 to chapter 20, Egypt. Chapter 19 is against Egypt. A guy is going to destroy the Egypt. Chapter 19, verse 1 to 15, punishment of the Egypt. Let's read chapter 19, verse 1. An oracle concerning Egypt. See, the Lord ride on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. And the idol of Egypt tremble before him, and the heart of the Egyptian melt within them. Verse 2. I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian. Brother will fight against brother. Neighbor against neighbor, city against city, kingdom against the kingdom. Verse 3. The Egyptian will lose heart and will bring their plan to nothing. And they will consult the idol and the spirit of the dead and the medium of the spirit. So this is a prophecy. All the way until 15. Let's read verse 15. Chapter 19, verse 15. There's nothing in Egypt can do, head of or tail, palm branch or reed. Verse 16. In that day, the Egyptian will be like a woman, and they will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord Almighty raises against them. The leaders, God is going to against them. And verse 18 onwards, the verse 18 until the almost 25, verse 18 and until 25. It talk about the religious influence, the Judaism. The Judaism is going to influence the land of Egypt, because quite a few of the Jews migrated to the land of Egypt, as well as the land of Babylon. So later on, the people in Egypt and Babylon were under the influence of Judaism, and they worship the God the Israelite worship. About 2-3 weeks ago, I heard news in BBC talk about there was a group of Jews exiled in London from Iraq. I was astonished. Iraq, we know, is supposed to be a Muslim country, right? After the Hussein took power about 20 some years ago, under the persecution, a group of the Jews just move out, and later on United Kingdom accept them. And this group of Jews are making a plan, try to move back to Iraq. And when I heard the news, I looked, at that time I was preparing the book of Isaiah. Exactly, Isaiah talking about Egypt, in other places talk about Babylon, was under the influence of Judaism. It's true. And in Ethiopia, I don't know whether you have heard, Ethiopia has a lot of Jews. So after 1965, a lot of Jews come back from the Promised Land from all over the world. And part of them look like a black people, African American. Actually, they are coming from Ethiopia. After they have been living in Ethiopia for a long, long time, we don't know what is the reason, because of the weather, or because of the food they eat, or because of environment, their skin change and look like African people. But they still worship the God mentioned in the Bible. So all these things are right now happen is a proof the Bible is true. Chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 19, verse 19. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and a monument to the Lord at its border. And it will be the sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. And where they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressor, and he will send them to a savior and defender, and he will rescue him. Verse 21. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptian, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord, and they will worship with sacrifice and a great offering, and they will make vow to the Lord and keep them. And the Lord will strike Egypt with plague, and he will strike them and heal them. And they will turn to the Lord, and he will respond to their prayers and heal them. So you see, this paragraph is talk about the Judaism has been very influential. And this is a prophecy coming from Isaiah. And verse 21, chapter 21, chapter 20 is a warning to Egypt of approaching captivity. Isaiah has been inspired by God and warned the Judah not to make alliance with Egypt to attack Assyria. So, and in this chapter, it is a warning to Egypt, the approaching captivity, because they don't listen to the prophecy of Isaiah. And later on, Assyrian attacked the Egypt and overcome the country. They were in under captivity. So in order to make a point, you see, the way is quite unusual, it's different. Verse 2, chapter 20, verse 2.